Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Not that you asked, but I'm sitting here making a couple of notes with the Sabres game in mind, and I just wrote the name Alex Lyon, but I somehow left off the A, and it just says on my sheet here, Lex Lyon, and I realized I think I like that more. Lex Lyon. Can we go with that? I don't know if anybody's ever thought of that. Sal Capaccio with me now on the West Her Hotline. Sal, by chance, are you headed to the arena tonight?
I am. We are going to the game tonight. I'll be there.
Let me ask you about this then while we're on the subject of the Sabres, which I suppose we are. Does this season, I mean, when you're 0-0, any sport, any team, it's the time to be hopeful. Does this season feel different to you in any way? Like, this is a question I want to ask Paul later. There's always some new players. Not a lot of it's new, though. Do you feel like any particular reason for optimism or anything about this year as it starts that you are, you know, feeling really good about?
I don't know about really good. I'm a bit more optimistic, but I'm generally like that. You know what I mean? I'm kind of an optimistic, hopeful person anyway. So I carry that over and like, okay, it's 0-0. Like you have a chance here. I think what feels different for me is I think there's just a lot of pressure that everyone knows. And I don't know if even that's the word of like, this is like, you need to make the playoffs. And if you don't make the playoffs, there's going to be changes. And I think we thought that last year and there was a lot of that, but I think it's like really real this time, which gives me I think they're going to do whatever they can to try and make that happen. I'm kind of excited for that part of it, Mike, to be honest with you, like from a standpoint of, you know, I don't think they're going to be satisfied with just playing meaningful games in March if they don't actually make it. So I'm listening to you earlier. It's kind of funny because you said, give me, you know, Valentine's Day. And I love that, but I need more than that this year. Like I just got to be more because quite frankly, I think they expect more.
I know. There's 2 months left when it's Valentine's Day.
I know.
It's still a lot of golf left at that point. So, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty low bar to clear, you would think. Good. Well, you are, I think, a hopeful person. And I'm glad that tonight's game is sold out because you want to just sort of see if there's going to be positive energy that can sustain, right? I mean, having less than a sellout opening night would have been a story. So at least we avoided that.
I am concerned about goaltending, obviously. I do think they did a lot of good things on the power play towards the end of the year that'll carry over. And I'm super excited to see Josh Norris, I think, play with this team and play with Tage. And I think he can be a really fantastic player if he can stay healthy, obviously. I think tonight's going to hurt not having Kesselring because, I mean, he's, I think, a big part of what they want to do on the blue line. And, you know, that's an area where they really concentrated on. And it kind of reminds me in a little bit of a way of, like when McDermott and Bean came in and they traded away Sammy Watkins and you're like, well, listen, it doesn't look on the surface like we're a better team, but the things we're doing are going to make us better by all these other kind of changes and additions and people we're bringing in to have this or that. It kind of feels like that a little bit, so I'm hoping that's the case.
All right, Sal, so to Bill's business here, injury-wise, Dalton Kincaid in a non-contact jersey today. What is the story there?
Not really sure. He got injured. He's listed as, let me check here. Do you have it with you there, Mike? I know I was looking at it a little while ago.
No, I should.
And my apologies. But I would not read much into it on a Thursday when there's a Monday night game.
Limited.
It's basically, you know, what's that?
Limited
with what's the injury, though, I'm saying?
Oblique.
Thank you. Oblique. You know why? Because I know in the game, the reason I was confused was because I knew it didn't match up within the game. In the game, he actually got hit, like he was looking at his hand. It looked like he hurt his hand, and that wasn't the case necessarily because he stayed in the game and all that, but I do remember that. Yes, that's why, because I couldn't match it up. Oblique injury could be something that you deal with, and it's not good, but I wouldn't be too concerned. The fact that he's on the field and limited the first day, today is like a normal Wednesday. Let's remember that. So if on a regular Wednesday for a Sunday game, if guys are limited, I'm pretty encouraged that they're going to probably play that week, unless maybe they're coming back from an injury from a couple weeks they missed something, like in Ed Oliver's case or something like that. So I wouldn't really worry too much about that.
Okay. And Curtis Samuel is another one here who played against New England, neck, ribs, limited. Yeah. You might say the same thing about his chances of playing. I just wonder if you knew anything to add, had anything to add on him.
No, but he wasn't in a non-contact, so I think that's even more encouraging, right? So, that'll be those will be things we'll get more information on tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a big day. Now, funny thing is, I think it was seven guys total limited, but Sean McDermott only gave us three of them before we went out to practice. And then the other ones are like, okay, did something happen at practice? When that happens, you don't know. You wonder if something happened at practice in the portion we can't watch, or, you know, what's going on there. So, again, I would not really – I'd kind of just wait till tomorrow to see on some of these things. I think the more important stuff for me is Ed Oliver back again, watched him today. I mean, I think he was trending like he was going to play last week, and he didn't. It was close probably. And that, I think, bodes well for this week. And then Dorian Williams getting him back is a big deal, I think, because you're already without Matt Milano this week most likely. So I think that's a big deal, get him back on a limited basis, but that's encouraging.
Injury status – Samuel, I'm thinking of here, notwithstanding, do you think he's maybe solidly in the lineup, returns? Like, is this going to be his job? Is it that already?
I don't know about that. I feel like it's almost like him and Elijah Moore are kind of battling each week for a roster spot almost, right? Which is, who do we, you know, put in and what do we need on a weekly basis, depending on what team we're playing? I thought it was interesting when Joe Brady asked about Samuel after he was active last week. He said, well, it starts with being able to do kick returns, because he's got to contribute other than just being a wide receiver. And I think that's where they are right now. You know, right now they don't even have Brandon Codrington active, so they need someone else to step up into that role. And the reason Brandon Codrington's not active is most likely because they need bodies at corner, and there's only a certain amount of numbers that they have on the team. And if you're not contributing at that position, then we're going to have to do something else. At least Curtis Samuel contributed at wide receiver. So that's probably why. I wouldn't say it's his job necessarily, because I think him and Elijah Moore are, you know, battling. But if he can continue to return kicks, then probably you'll lean that way a little bit.
Right. Nice play that we didn't end up talking much about because the Bills lost the game on the first touchdown Sunday night, where Allen really is the orchestrator there with Samuel in motion, and then gives that little hand signal back the other way, quick snap, and it's over. Like, there's just that's like a free touchdown on that play that Allen was good to read, and Samuel the beneficiary of that play. Well, it's not great for Codrington. I don't think we ever had any, you could say, different illusions that he could be a contributor in the secondary, but with the secondary in the state it's in, and he's inactive, I mean, I guess that says it all.
Yeah, and on top of that, I mean, Mike, like last year, he was a boundary corner, and then this year he's a nickel corner. Like, they moved him inside, I think, simply because, okay, he's not going to help us in the boundary. Let's see if he can help us at nickel, and obviously that's just, it's not what he can do. I usually laugh at people who say things like this, but I'm going to say it right now. Like, I wonder if Brandon Codrington could be trained to be a running back. I mean, that if it's not going to work at DB, I know I'm the first person to tell you. He's never done it in his life. Yeah, but he's not contributing there, and he's really good with the ball in his hands, I think, going forward. I wonder if that's something that you could do with him eventually and say, you know what? maybe that's where he would fit and be actually able to be on a practice squad and contribute if you ever need him.
Well, I like that you said it, because sometimes these are the really good ideas. And you say what you say up front because it's so rare that
right.
a team will, you know, do something like that. But it does happen, and it makes some sense. I wonder if, I guess they're not doing anything is the bottom line here so far, but I wonder if they think about getting into the running back market, you know, through waivers or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what they would think there is right now, but I mean, Cook is healthy. Your guys are healthy, and Cook has been very productive, but they're getting so little out of his, you know, his associates back there. I wonder what the Bills, how the Bills think that's going, if that's something that worries them.
Yeah, I wonder. I think they probably have more confidence than what you might think in them, except there's just not an opportunity right now. They started to get some opportunity last week. That was a tough team they played against the run, though. But I think about, like, Ty Johnson was just so key for them last year. Like, suddenly it's just not materializing. But again, it's lack of opportunity, too, because James Cook is on the field so often. I mean, they do have Frank Gore Jr. still on the practice squad. I mean, there's worse ideas than that. If they want to turn to somebody and say, can we get a spark as a backup to be able to come in here? You know, he's a lot more like James Cook than he is, you know, Ray Davis necessarily. But sure, if there's a guy out there, I probably find that hard to think that they would do that, considering we've seen this happen before at other positions where you get a guy middle of the season, it takes him a little bit to get up to speed, learn the playbook, all those kinds of things that go into it. And your guy is already here and he's done a good job for you, whether that's Ray Davis or Ty Johnson. And you just feel that, like, that's going to happen at some point.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Bulldog is off today. I'm Mike Shope here on WGR. Maxwell Hairston, the latest here, practicing in a brace, but you're starting to see him a little bit, I guess. That's good.
Yes, just to clarify, he's not practicing, actually. I don't want to, you know, make sure everybody knows the terminology on that, because if he was practicing, they'd have to open up his 21-day window.
Okay.
He is working off to the side with a trainer, so he is doing rehab right now. And a couple of weeks ago, we had video of him and I did of that huge brace he had on his knee. And everybody's like, oh my God, there's no way he's playing with that brace. And then last week, I think he had the brace on, but you couldn't see it because a sleeve was over it. Today, even someone said, oh, no brace. I'm like, no, I think it's under the sweats that he's wearing, actually. So you don't outwardly see the brace. But I mean, to me, he's looking like he's, you know, moving well. Today, first time I've seen him do the lateral movement he was doing, the start and stop he was doing. I have some video of that, and you could see all that. Now, Sean McDermott said before practice that none of the guys who are eligible to come off IR would have their 21-day windows open. And I know fans really want to see Max Harrison. I get it. Tyler Bass, too. Tylon Grable. There's some guys there. I just think you have to think about the timing here, right? Which is, you got one game, and then you got a bye week. And during that bye week, there's certain rules on how often you can practice. They don't practice. You get a 21-day hard practice window for these guys to come back. So let's just say they opened his practice window today. You would get 21 days, but in that 21 days, he might only get like 7 or 8 practices, to be quite honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you got to be careful of that on how you do it, or whatever the number would be, 10 practices, whatever. The point is, like, I think that you want to maximize the practice opportunities once you do that. So to me, it always screamed it would be after the bye if it was going to happen. And when Sean was asked today, like, are you confident that Harrison and Tyler Bass will come back this year and play? He said, we'll see. Now that brings up a lot of alarm bells in fans' minds. I just say, you know this coach the way he talks, right? Like, that's just what he does. He doesn't paint himself into a corner. He wants to never put an expectation on something that, if it doesn't wind up materializing, it makes everybody look bad.
I know that, and I certainly, you know, hear you when you say that.
Yeah.
That's a pretty long-range question, though, to say anything but yes to. And I wonder, did he get it in the same question, both guys? Because I think maybe Bass is somebody where it might be a different answer. I mean, Prater's making almost all his kicks, and I don't really know what that is. So he might... I don't know. It could be the other way around for all I know, but he might feel like, you know, Bass is not a sure thing for maybe multiple reasons. And Hairston is closer to one, but why get so specific?
Yeah, I agree. Oops, sorry about that. Yeah, so I don't disagree with that. I agree that he could say it in a different way, that even if he feels like, I don't want to paint myself in a corner, maybe it at least gives the less impression of there's some sort of worry or thought that they might not play this year. Or maybe he has that thought they might not play, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just know that, like, generally it's kind of the way he talks, right? Which is, you know, we'll take it, we'll see where it goes, take it day by day, they're improving, we'll see what happens, and that's the reason why. So I think, you know, the way I saw Max Harrison playing, you know, moving around today, that's encouraging. It doesn't mean he's going to be on the field anytime soon, but it never seemed to me it would happen before the bye anyway.
Well, I mean, there's so much to say about it, like, without knowing exactly what the injury, where it stands. But the bye week point, they're in first place. They did lose the game Sunday night. If they'd won it, this would be easier. There's still a long way to go. I just wonder, and I know what my answer to this would be. Like, there's enough time where I wouldn't want to really worry about it. But you get to a point eventually where, being that Hairston is a rookie and had so little time in camp even, where you'd wonder what you can really get out of him. Like, the idea here is he'd be starting by now. You know, this is a first-round pick. So at some point, I think this year, it's going to mean a lot that he's not out there yet, but maybe that's only a couple of games away.
It's a great point you make. I think I've made the same point to people, which is, at this time of year, it's not like you get training camp reps back again. You're not going out there and having all those practices, getting ready and learning the system. It's game planning now, right? I mean, like, if you're going to be a part of the active roster, you're going out to practice for an hour and a half, 2 hours game planning. And that's not a time to make up for all those reps he missed. Like, you're immersed. So I agree. I don't know how much he would play anyway. I think Cole Bishop is a great example of this last year, right? And people wanted to see Cole Bishop out there, and, you know, he missed all that time, and there was a big, you know, clamoring for that. And what happened was he played against the Houston Texans, and because he didn't have that time on task, he got beaten over the top. And Rasul Douglas even said after the game, "I should have known to help Cole there and to know not put him in that position," something like that. Like, these are real things, like, you got to think about, which, you know, if they're not ready and they don't know because they don't have that time, they haven't been on the field, they could impact and have a critical negative effect on a football game. And those are things that the team thinks about. The other part of this is, you got Harrison, so he could come back. You got Bass, he could come back. When they do, and it's not the 21 days, let's remember how this works now. Once they start practicing, you get 21 days to put them on the active roster, and then you'd have to make a corresponding move. Now, in Harrison's case, they could do what they did with Isaiah Hodgins a few years ago, let's say, which is, he can practice, you put him out there, and for 3 weeks he practices with you because you want him to get the reps, but you don't actually put him on the roster, and he actually does just kind of get shut down for the year. That would be an option. But the other issue is, Mike, after next week, they're getting Hoyt and Ogunjobi back. And there's no, like, unless they waive one of them, like, it's no, they can't just keep him on a suspended list. They go on the roster, and they're going to have to make decisions. That's two guys already.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Top of the two guys we're talking about.
Yep. This might not be that great of a take because I'm not sure it isn't most teams in the league, but the Bills play a number of teams yet this regular season who have a clear wide receiver one. They have Benford, of course, the Bills too, but Dolphins lost Tyreek Hill. You get Tampa. I guess that's a Buka already, but Evans, Godwin, if Evans is healthy, Nico Collins, DK Metcalf, Chase and Higgins, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith. You've got some really good matchups or tough matchups for this secondary. Is that every game almost? Maybe it's most games. Drake London this week. They won't have Hairston for this game, but he's all that. So some interesting challenges. Sal, you'll have Sean McDermott tomorrow morning, I'm guessing?
Yes. We will not get game status for any players. That will not come out until Saturday, so we won't get that from Sean tomorrow.
You don't need any help from me coming up with questions for him, and it's possible maybe you even plan to bring this up. Maybe it's also a question he would answer differently privately. I would love to hear him talk about what Jonathan Gannon did.
Right.
You know? Like,
yeah.
That is not McDermott's style. How many times, if ever, have we seen him really lose his temper at a player? I mean, an official once in a while, but even that, you see worse. It seems like the kind of thing where he would really have a tough time with what Gannon did for Arizona, screaming at his player, DeMercado, after he fumbled in the end zone on that long run for the Cardinals. I mean, most coaches.
He actually didn't fumble, by the way. Did you see the replays? He had possession of the ball at the goal line. There was something on, who was it? Somebody, I can't remember who was on ESPN showing this, like, for the last few days, going, dude, like, this wasn't even a fumble. They looked at it, and he actually had control of the ball. I'm stunned looking at it. They actually said it was a fumble. But the point was still that he did that, yes.
When I saw it, I thought maybe he had made it, but I have no sympathy for the guy that fumbles. I don't want to sit there for 5 minutes looking at replays of this play to see if it should count. But, you know, that's not really fair. Anyway, I bet a lot of coaches would have taken offense to that. The Cardinals themselves fined this coach $100,000 for his behavior. Like, I wonder in the coaching fraternity, so to speak, if there was, I don't know about outrage, but maybe at least disappointment in how Gannon behaved, or if coaches went, yeah, man, I wish I could get away with that once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sean rarely answers questions or talks about, like, people on other teams, coaches on other teams, other than to say, you know, they're really good at what they do and things like that. That said, just kind of thinking about, you know, bringing it back to the Bills a little bit and being, you know, upset or whatever, we did hear from Keon Coleman today. And I posted the audio, and Zach has it, but, you know, Sean said, you know, head coach discipline, and he would made it clear. Like, you know, he was upset, obviously, when this happened. Keon today, for his part, so everybody understands, he was benched for the first series against the New England Patriots. Keon did speak to reporters. He took accountability. He said that he knew, like, what was his reaction? Was asked. He said there was no reaction because he kind of expected it, and it was communicated right away from Sean McDermott, and they're on the same page going forward. And he said, you know, he has to do a better job of doing what he's supposed to do and being mature.
Mm-hmm. Last thing, Sal, if you want it, the Yankees, I mean, I got to ask, season is over. How mad should a Yankee fan be about how this season went? Or, you know, is mad not the word?
I think that you always look for reasons to be upset and blame when things like that happen. As a fan, I generally don't. I just think it's sports, and they got beat by a better team. So I'm not mad. I'm upset emotionally. Like, it's cool to have your team in there and go to the ALCS if you can. But I don't. If you want to be mad, I guess you can be mad because the Yankees do rely a lot on analytics, and I think there's a point to be made about, you know, maybe Boone relying too much on that, and that's cost them over the course of the season. I'll say they also had a lot of injuries, and they still tied for the best record in the American League, right? I mean, there's a lot of ways you could slice it. So if you want to be mad about that, that's fine. I don't particularly get mad. I get more of a upset that this team has not been in the World Series since 2009, for them, obviously. I mean, won a World Series, excuse me, since 2009. Yeah. They were in it last year. You know, that's a long time. And I tip my hat to the Blue Jays, Mike. I mean, they were a machine. They're just so good on offense. They're built the right way. If you want to get mad at that, maybe the Yankees should be built more like that. I know they love home runs. That's the one thing I wish the Yankees did do, was build a little bit more like kind of the Blue Jays and even like the Guardians, which is just athletic, and they can play station to station, and they still get some home runs when they need it once in a while. They play good defense. Like, that's the thing that I get upset about.
Mm-hmm. And man, Guerrero did.
He's
just
amazing.
He was so good. You always want that from your best guy, because if he's not on, I mean, Judge got that in the home run in game three. If your best guy is not basically leading the way, then everybody talks about that, right? You've had this with Judge.
Yep. Right.
That, you know, what do you expect? If he's not hitting, how are the rest of them supposed to be hitting? But Guerrero just would not quit, even in that first inning. I mean, it's baseball. The guys go get hits one out of three times, and they're in the Hall of Fame, as they say. Here's Guerrero in the top of the first. Like, he's not going to do this again, right? Rips that ball into the corner in right field for the lead immediately. The pressure's on. And, you know, the Yankees caught up, and it was tied for much of that game. But he just would not quit. And so nice, you know, if you're on his team, when he's on a heater like that. We'll see if he can keep it up.
He played great defense, too, by
yes.
the way, in this series.
Oh.
And, that, you know, that was always his the criticism of him, you know, as he was a younger player coming up. But he has transformed his body, and he's more athletic and nimble. That the rounding third and diving home, all examples of this. And he played great defense. It's very, very hard for me. I will never not like Vladimir Guerrero, right? He doesn't play for my team, and he killed my team. I love Vladimir Guerrero. I loved him when he was in Buffalo. I loved his dad. Watched his dad play. So it's bittersweet for me because, it's the Yankees losing, and I would rather see them win. But I think the Blue Jays are a fun team to watch, and they deserved it.
Did you love Ortiz? There's a certain kind, certain sort of energy that makes these guys likable like they are. But if, you know, maybe Yankees Red Sox is more deeply rooted. Did you like Ortiz?
I did. I liked Ortiz. I liked Nomar, actually, believe it or not. And Dustin Pedroia. And I hate saying that publicly and on the radio, but I do.
Gotcha.
I like these guys when they bring it. Like, they just love baseball. I think it's the same way, like, you get a Red Sox fan who says, yeah, I really like Jeter, right? Same kind of thing. So, yeah, and Ortiz is really good on TV, too. I did a whole panel's good, actually.
I just can't believe they exist. I can't believe I was in here on a Tuesday afternoon watching David Ortiz, Alex Rodriguez, and Derek Jeter take turns predicting the final score of a Mariners game yesterday, or Wednesday, whatever. But that was the case. All right, I'll let you go here. Thanks, Sal.
All right, thanks.
Sal will join us tomorrow as well. His appearance is on WGR, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. You're placed to buy a case. What's your outlet? I'm glad he brought up Guerrero's defense, too, because that's part of it. In Game 3... And this is just how I saw it. In game three, he got a one bouncer at a first that he was in, and there was a runner on first and third, and he came home with it. He might have looked at second, but he came home with it. I think it was Judge who they got in the rundown between third and home for that out. Last night there was a ball very similar to that, and he went 3-6-3, if it was the shortstop. I mean, 3-4-3, 3-6, whatever it was. Like, that instinct right there paid off for him both times. Not exactly the same ball, but close. And, I guess he was right both times. I wonder if on the one in game three, he felt like he couldn't get back to first base in time. Maybe I don't know who the runner was, but he had the right instinct, it would seem, certainly last night. Time out here. The Sabres open tonight. We'll talk about them some next. You can join me, 803-0550. Bulldog is off. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.